What's up, everybody? Welcome to She, Her, They. I'm your host, Kittens, but you might also know me as Lauren. And I'm so excited for this episode because it's the first one, and also because I have my dear friend Demi Lovato as the very first guest. She's an incredible singer, actor, and fiercely outspoken advocate for honestly, like, every good cause, who's always eager to learn and grow. In this episode, we chat about how to navigate insecurities, queerness, and figuring out how the hell to be your authentic self when everyone seems to be shoving you into a box. Before we get into it, just a reminder that since language around identity is very nuanced and ever-evolving, some terms here may become outdated. This is meant to be a safe and inclusive space, so I'm going to do my best to constantly learn and stay on top of changes.
Hi.
There you are.
What is this lighting you have right now? You look like a glowy sun goddess.
It's the sun, and it's like the perfect time of day.
Yes, got that golden hour. I love that. My light's just like cold and sterile.
No, it looks good.
If you want to go ahead and introduce yourself to anyone who might not know who you are.
Okay, I'm Demi Lovato. I'm a singer. And I act, and I like to speak up about things I'm passionate about.
Yes, you do. And that's why I wanted to have you today. In case anyone who's watching this doesn't know, or if you don't know and you don't remember, I have a playlist called She, Her, They, and it features all LGBTQ, non-binary, off the spectrum type. I'm not off the spectrum. What am I fucking talking about? Just all over the spectrum, women and femmes and everything in music. And I just thought it would be nice to have one central place for everyone in the community to like find music they like and people they identify with. And
totally.
So you're on there.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
But yeah, I feel like we've known each other for so long, and I just like am so inspired by your eagerness to learn, and seeing you find yourself over the years has been such a like beautiful thing to watch. You just really step into your authenticity and be so unapologetic about who you are and everything you care about, and not really have ego when it comes to learning and everything. I think that's super beautiful, and exactly why I want people to hear you speak. So,
thank you. Well, I definitely think it's important right now that everyone takes the ego out of learning, no matter what it is we're trying to learn about right now, whether it's how to stay healthy or social injustices. It's just like, there can't be any ego right now. We all have to learn, and we all have to, you know, come together.
Totally. It's really interesting because for so long, and I know a lot of people are kind of going through this unlearning process and really facing a lot of uncomfortable feelings, which when you're new to like separating yourself from your ego to learn and be better and not be defensive, it can be really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of compassion for everybody who's going through this new, like, oh my God, I grew up in a society that like gave me privilege for all these different reasons, and kind of seeing outside of that. So it's super important to have no ego there. But actually, before we get started, because I ask everybody else this, how do you identify pronouns, as well as if you have a label for your sexuality or not, whatever?
I guess I would identify as, I don't really know what I identify as when it comes to my sexuality, because sometimes I identify as bisexual, and then sometimes I, like, when I've listened to people talk about being pansexual, I like identify with that as well. So it's just, I'm very fluid, and I never really put a label on it, but not because, not for any specific reason other than just like, I'm super fluid. And I feel like there may be a term that comes out in a year or two that I relate to more. So, and my pronouns are she and her. So,
right. Love that. Yeah. I think it's so interesting because like this newer generation and like Gen Z and all that, and just the time we're in, it's so much more accepted and encouraged to be just authentic, whatever that means, whether it's you're fluid, whether you want to label yourself as this thing one day or that thing another day. It's just like being true to yourself in the moment is the most important part. And I think that's something that so many prior generations are really missing that can be harmful for people trying to find themselves.
Yeah. I find a lot about myself personally just over the past couple of years as I've like leaned into being more authentic and doing things that make me happy instead of what makes other people happy. It's kind of taken away those harmful behaviors or urges that like I've had in the past. Because in the past, I was trying to like shove down who I actually authentically was. And I think too many generations have learned that like ignoring who you are is only going to hurt you in the long run. And so now we're kind of moving into a different world where we want everyone to be okay with who they are. And yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah. I think, yeah, it's been some nice shifting. And I feel like things are kind of moving at a faster pace now where people are like progressing so much more quickly and learning to accept things so much more quickly. So it's just, I can't imagine where we're going to be in like 10 years.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not even going to be a thing. Like no one's going to even, I mean, I guess that's way too fucking hopeful to think that there's going to be discrimination, but I think it's just going to be like much more chill of an issue. And at least I hope so. But you talked about just kind of coming to terms with being your authentic self and everything. Do you feel pretty okay with being yourself and being free to be yourself now? Or do you still kind of grapple with certain insecurities? And how do you kind of like deal with those?
I think over the past year and a half specifically, like I've really learned a lot about who I am. And I've become more unapologetic in that, in a sense of like, if someone doesn't like who I am or doesn't like the things that I like to wear or whatever, like it's not that big of a deal. I don't look online for validation anymore in the comment section of like what people are gonna say.
So dangerous to do in the first place. My God.
Exactly. I untagged myself out of photos, like, I think like a year and a half ago. Then I turned them back on just because I like to see fan art. And then I turned them back off. And ever since I've done that, it just was like so much better for my mental health of just like not seeing what people have to say about the outfits I wear. I wear what makes me comfortable. And I just don't do anything for anybody else. Unless I like want to do something nice for someone. You know,
no, it's so true. Cause like seeing anything, a lot of people want to be like, I'm strong. I don't care what people think about me. But then like when you're constantly seeing people commenting on like everything about your identity, how you present, how you look, like everything, it's just like, nobody can be numb to that. It's just not possible to be unbothered by that.
Right. And I feel like I used to read the comment sections of like, what should I be like, even in the past month or so, like, what should I be posting about? Because I want to be more in tune. I want to like know the things that I should be highlighting. And, but you know, even in a, there are times where people are telling me to post about things that like, I might not know enough information about yet. And I like, don't post for anybody, but myself and, putting things on that platform of like, this is what I want to share and hopefully help people with. But even in that sense, like I don't post for anybody. I don't do anything for anybody, but myself and my happiness.
That's all that matters at the end of the day. I think, you know, just taking the time to learn things is so important. People are so quick to post things and then it realize later on it might've been harmful or it might've not been the most helpful, productive thing or,
right,
some sus shit behind it, and then you're like, well, fuck.
Right.
So I think that's the number one takeaway, is just taking the time to educate yourself and being okay with not knowing everything.
Yeah.
Those people are so focused on like having all the answers all the time, and it's okay to not know shit and say you don't know shit.
Like I am totally okay with acknowledging that I don't have all the answers, and like every day is a work in progress, and I will continue to learn and I will do whatever I can to learn. But I do not have the answers. I thought that I would know a lot more by 27, but I feel like I'm just now starting to learn.
I feel like there's some quote by some philosopher, just about how like you never stop learning. Like up until the day you die, like we're just going to have to constantly be learning because we don't know everything. Things are always changing and there's just always room to be better and room to grow and room to learn.
Yeah.
You know, so I wanted to talk to you a bit about your coming out process, which I think you came out like right shortly after we met or right before. I don't recall.
Yeah. I think my documentary came out and like right around the time that we met or right after. And
no, but you came out to your family.
Well, yes. So those were two different processes for me. Right. Like, because to the world, I had no problem like singing Fool for the Summer and acknowledging, by curiosity and like, but when it came to having that conversation with my mom, it was a different story because, we grew up in the South and I knew that my mom loved me and I knew that she would accept me,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know if that would create, a different dynamic or what. And, I was afraid to be that honest and that vulnerable with her, but, it was really great because she was just so accepting of everything and was just like, I can't imagine being, like judgmental of you. I just want you to be happy.
Yeah.
And I really wish everyone could have that. And unfortunately, not everyone does, but in that moment, I was like, wow, this is the type of mom that I want to be for my kids later on in life. If they come to me and say, hey, this is what I identify as.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be like just fully supportive and give them the same love that my mom gave me.
It makes such a difference just to have the people you love show you love back in a way that's compassionate and non-judgmental. Like it makes such a big difference. And I think something that really helps with that is just more normalization of this. Like the more people that are just out and open and chill about who they are and their identity, it just makes it less of a big scary thing, you know? Like,
yeah, totally. I think that like I too also wasn't totally sure of my sexuality until I got out of a relationship that I was a heterosexual relationship that I was in for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
When I thought, you know, at one point that was going to be my life path, I didn't know if I was ever going to date other people. And so I didn't want to identify or come out as queer because I didn't want to say, hey, I'm queer, but then only be with the rest of my life.
Which is still totally okay to be like.
Okay, exactly. But I think once I realized that like that relationship wasn't the relationship for me and I needed to do more growing on my own, then I was able to allow myself to explore that side of me and also just like embrace love just in general from, yeah, just embrace love.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like if you heard music or saw art or more representation when you were younger of just like women loving women or more just queer representation, do you think you would have maybe come to terms with your sexuality and identity a bit sooner, or did that not?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it wasn't made okay for me until I came out to LA.
Mm-hmm.
In Texas, had I lived in Texas my whole life, I don't know that I would have ever been comfortable enough to identify as bisexual or fluid, because I only knew one way of life, mm-hmm. and that was the Southern Christian mentality. And that's why it was hard for me to like come to terms with my sexuality too, of like, I was scared, was I going to be shunned? Because when you grow up in a religious like community, you know, you sometimes see that people can be really hypocritical.
Yeah.
And, it was exciting for me to see, I think, like, anytime there was like a same sex couple on MTV or something like risque, I was like, oh, cool. Like I was curious and I was interested. And I guess it didn't dawn on me till later why.
Yeah. I mean, that's normal. I had no idea until I was 15 and my best friend, her boyfriend cheated on her and she's like, fuck it. I'm going to date girls now. Boys suck. Wham. And I was like, okay. And one of her gay guy friends is like, I know a lesbian. Let's set you up. Obviously, it didn't work out. She's very straight. But I saw her and I was like, wait, when?
Yeah.
Like, I never knew. I just hadn't really had a person I saw other than, like, Ellen.
Yeah. And it's funny how, like, when you kind of come across someone at a young age that you relate to. Like, I remember hearing about a girl that was from my hometown and she was bi and she went to a different school. And I was like, I wasn't even that attracted to her, but I was like, oh,
yeah. Like, because you're curious. You're like, what is that about? What? Yeah,
exactly. So it's just, yeah, it's funny how that works out too.
Yeah, it makes such a difference, I think. Like, and that's why it's so cool right now, because there's so many, like, I mean, there's still a bit of a, I guess, stigma in our society. Like, there's still homophobic people and still awful bullying that happens to LGBTQ kids and everything. But the representation across the board from like all levels of entertainment is so leveled up now that it's just kids can find someone they identify with in some way, and maybe it'll help, you know?
Totally. I'm really encouraged about that for the future, of just like more diversity and more inclusion.
Totally. Do you feel like you've been making music since you were an infant fetus. but did you notice a difference in your creative process between before you came out and after?
I definitely, before I like came out, I was very, very particular about pronouns being key. And now, like, if it fits to a she, then it fits to a she. But I guess, like, what was interesting is there were songs that I had written about females in the past, but those lyrics I made about the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. And I guess I never realized that until just now, but I was denying myself in those earlier albums. I think like there was a song on like my fourth album or something that, it was about a girl, and I made the pronouns to a guy, and it just was like, I wish I didn't do that looking back, but I wasn't ready at the time either. So, I think if anything, my music has just gotten more authentic because I've become more authentic.
Right. So we've all had that moment in our life where we kind of come to terms with the fact that we may be queer or flying elsewhere on the spectrum of sexuality or gender. Did you have a moment, like a kind of coming out moment with yourself or with your family about what you wanted to do with your career in music? Or was it just not really a thing because you started so young? Like, was that always your plan?
I think that music has always just been like an afterthought, because I've just been in the game for so long that like I always just now, when it comes to my life, I make decisions for my life and then my music will follow. You know what I mean? It's just like music is kind of this attachment to my being that like, no matter what I do, my music is going to reflect it somehow.
Right.
And so I think it definitely, like changed over the time that like I've been more authentic, but yeah, I think it'll continue to, there's been no like conversation about where my music will go or whatever, just because it's always been with me.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. It's like, I feel like so many people have that moment, but I guess like it makes sense because you've been doing this for evs. But yeah. Like when I told my dad that I was like, I'm going to do music stuff. He was like, what?
Yeah.
You're not going to be an accountant? What do you mean?
I've been singing longer than I can remember talking. Like, oh. I remember singing before talking.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So do you, I mean, I feel like a lot of people don't realize this until later in life, looking back, but do you remember what your first same-sex crush was? Even if it was like a TV character, or like a movie person or a cartoon, like.
I think it may have been one of my best friends, when I was like a preteen. And I think that I didn't realize that's what it was until I got older. We did make out all the time, but I didn't put that one together.
No, that's not obvious. That's not obvious. Okay.
So it was just kind of like, I don't know. Looking back, I guess she was my first same-sex crush. But you know, I think it's like one of those things where girls kissing is more normalized than guys kissing, you know? So like for two girls to make out when they're drunk at a party, it's not, you don't have that thought as a female of like, guys, stop. You don't have that thought of like, oh my gosh, maybe I'm queer. You just think like,
I'm just being a girl and having fun.
Yeah, I'm just having fun. But then later on, I was like, wait, I'm really ignoring a part of myself that I need to like, identify. And
when you decided to like come out in your documentary, because that's a whole other thing, like coming out to yourself is one thing, and yeah, coming out to your like close friends and family is another thing, but then coming out like publicly as yourself, whether you have a bajillion fucking people following your move or whether you're just in a small town somewhere, it's a big deal to live so openly. Did you have any like apprehension about that? Were you nervous? Did that change anything for you?
No, if anything, like, so what's interesting is I did a music video called Really Don't Care at Gay Pride in West Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And I was on this float. Like, I looked butch.
You have a little like shaved front.
Yes, I had like, I think it was shaved. And then I was like in a masculine outfit. Like it was not, what's funny is I look at that and I'm like, I was screaming. Like, hello, I am queer. But I was not ready to acknowledge it yet. And so by the time I was able to acknowledge it, I was like, so many people like are not going to be shocked to find this out about me, that it didn't make it that scary for me.
Right.
I think it might've been a different situation had it been like maybe right out of Disney Channel or right out of like, I don't know. I've just had already like been an advocate and an ally.
So you're part of the community, but like, and you were like just dancing around the community.
Yes, I was exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's such a big thing for people to be so open in that way. And I know that we've come a long way just throughout the years of people in the spotlight being able to just openly be themselves, like thinking back to the 90s and everything when all these female rappers were clearly super duper gay. And they just were like, what? No, I'm going to sing about like boys and dick. And everyone was like, what?
Right, right.
Why?
Yeah.
But it's really nice to see people just being like, fuck it. This is me.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's been the most rewarding part of my adulthood is embracing who I am, flaws and all, sexuality and all, like just learning more about myself every day and then leaning into the authenticity of it, like that keeps me grounded. And yeah, it's been the greatest gift in adulthood.
Do you feel like you ever struggle with that part of your identity, or are you like pretty settled, or did you have like a moment of adjustment struggles? Because I feel like a lot of people have that where they're still trying to figure it out and just a little.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I still feel like I still learn so much about myself every day. And I know that I'm going to continue to learn more, that like, you know, it's just like, it's nice to be able to, like know that no matter what relationship I'm in today or where I am, like I'm comfortable in my skin and my sexuality. And it's cool to like, I get to continue to live with that mentality the rest of my life.
Love that. Love that. I know that there's so much stigma around. I mean, it's definitely getting a bit better, but I feel like there's always been the stigma around like the bisexual community and pansexual people. And it's like, it's so nice to see people just be like, no, this is it. And like, you need to respect it.
Yeah.
Cause we live in like a binary culture. Everything's like black or white. And they're like, pick a side. Are you gay or are you straight? Like, what are you?
And that's been a part of the reason why I haven't really ever put a specific label on my sexuality, of just like, sometimes I feel bi, sometimes I feel pan, sometimes I'm this, sometimes I'm that. And I just like it. I don't know. So yeah.
It's good though, because it's like, I feel like people, and I get people asking me this all the time, because I'm just like open door. Anyone who has questions about like social stuff or like LGBT stuff, I'm like,
you're who I go to. You know this.
Like people always come to me when they're like, so I met somebody and they're trans, but they're also a lesbian, but they were born a man, but they're a woman now, and they're polyamorous, and they're this, and they're that. Yeah. I'm like, explain it to me. And I'm like, there's nothing to explain. The problem is so many people are trying to put people in boxes, into these like pre-made boxes that we've had forever that don't fit everyone. And people's brains hurt from it. They're trying to put it in a category, and it's like, it's not for in that category or that one. Yeah. Just let it be what it is. It doesn't matter. Just let that person be who they are. They don't need to fit whatever pre-made labels we have.
Yeah, I agree with that totally.
Okay, geisha aside, what music have you been listening to lately? Do you have any like current new artists that you've been listening to a lot?
I just recently discovered this band. I think it's a band. The artist's name is Jungle.
Oh yeah.
So I'm really digging that, the album that I was listening to. I don't know which one. And then like, yeah, I've been really into Tame Impala.
Awesome. So good. It's so good to just like drive around or like ride a bike or something and just be outside listening to that right now. Like California summer.
I like will listen to it by the pool, because I'm living outside right now.
Yeah.
Just like laying in the sun every day. So, yeah, it's really nice. But it's a good soundtrack to laying out.
Absolutely. It's like, if there's sun out, Tame Impala is like,
yeah.
I know I think you were mentioning Rosalia a bunch too, but she's just like insane. She's so cool.
The coolest. You don't get cooler than Rosalia.
No, I'm like, she doesn't even try, and she's just cool as hell.
I know.
I heard too, because my friend was doing visuals for one of her live shows. And he was telling me, I don't know if it's common knowledge, whatever, but he was telling me all of her music from her first, or I guess last album, whatever, it's all based on this one old Spanish book. So it's like all of her songs are written based off of this novel.
Oh, wow. Like,
how fucking cool are you?
The coolest.
Like, what? I wouldn't even think to do that. I feel like everyone I know writes music based off of their life experiences or...
Well, I did write a song called I Hate You, Don't Leave Me, based on a book called I Hate You, Don't Leave Me, about borderline personality disorder.
Oh, wow.
So I heard that title and was like, that would make a fire song. Mm-hmm. And, then I related a lot to the concept and I kind of just implemented it. But it wasn't like a fictional story or anything. But yeah.
Really cool, though. I feel like I haven't heard much of that when people are like pulling inspiration from books and literature stuff.
Yeah.
Did you actually read the book or you just like the title?
Yeah, I read a little bit of it. I didn't. It was more like a clinical book about borderline personality disorder, so it was like not the easiest to follow, but it also wasn't the hardest to follow. It's a very easy read. I just get bored very easily. I have ADHD, so I can't
get it.
I was like, I got it. 10 pages in.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's current ones. Do you have any favorite throwback artists or anyone you kind of like pull inspiration from when you're singing? You have like such a classic voice and your brain just insane. So I love all those old soul singers.
I've been pulling a lot of inspiration, I think, from, my album like started off with inspiration. I wanted like Lauryn Hill vibes. And then now I'm kind of embracing more, just a different route. And I've kind of like over the past couple of months, really, I've turned into like a little hippie.
Okay.
I'm obsessed with nature and, I'm just constantly taking pictures of flowers and bugs and this and that. And just like, I don't know, I've really embraced that side of me. And so I want to incorporate that in my music, and maybe I'm just happier now. But that might be it. But
maybe nature is making you happier too. Like, yeah. Works together. Yeah. Are you like listening to hippie-esque music, like 70s vibes? Is that where you're like pulling from, or you're just like lighter, sunny nature feelings?
I'm not even like really listening to a lot more lighter music, but I just want to incorporate a lighter sound, because in the beginning of my album, it was all about, you know, what happened in 2018 and my journey. And then I've gone through a bunch of stuff since then. And so it was like this outpouring of emotion. And I just kind of like, I've been really happy the past few months, and I want that to be reflected too.
I love that. I love seeing you happy. It's so lovely. If you had, I guess this ties into this one, but if you could dream up your ideal creation zone, like no limits on electricity, physics, like you can be in the ocean as well as in a field, like with stars around you, whatever you want, what would it look like?
Okay. So I would love to like put a concert on the moon. Oh. I have really leaned into my feminine side, and the moon is a symbol for feminine energy. And so like I wanted to, when I was thinking about this, I was like, I want to incorporate the moon somehow. Mm-hmm. And so if you could just put a show on the moon, that'd be dope. But I think I would want all women. So it's all feminine energy, or like people that identify as feminine. Mm-hmm. And I think that'd be so cool.
Nice. So you would want to do a concert there, but what about like if you were like writing? I feel like studios are so cavey sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like hard to be inspired in that space sometimes. But like if you could be writing whatever you're writing that you were going to perform on the moon. Would it just be a separate part of the moon?
Maybe it'd just be on a separate part of the moon.
That works.
Yeah.
That fucking works. Those are all the questions I have for you. I need to take a photo because this is going to be a cover thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to just do a screen capture of it real quick. We'll count down. Ready? One, two, three. Cute. All right. Thank you so much. Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you. I'll talk to you later.
Hey, bye, babe.
Bye.
Thanks so much for tuning into She, Her, They. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and on YouTube for video from this episode. join us at SheHerThey on Instagram. And if you want to give me a lurk, you can find me across all social media at IamKittens. Yes, that's like baby cats with an S at the end. We'll catch you next time.